Sanhedrin, Perek Yud, Mishnah Vav, 10-6, the last of the Perek, and the last of the three Mishnayos talking about the Ir HaNidachas. This Mishnah is going to basically go through five of the Psukim in the Parsha about Ir HaNidachas and sort of expound them a little bit in the Halachas. So the Mishnah starts with the word Shene'emar, which is a little unusual. It means, usually to introduce a proof text. Here we're going to bring the first of the five Psukim to extrapolate on. It says, Pasuk says, Ve'eskol Shlala, all of its booty, meaning all of the assets in the Ir HaNidachas, of the Ir HaNidachas, tikbots el toch rechova, you should gather it into its common area, etc. Now, the modern Hebrew rechov, the word rechov in modern Hebrew, means a street, but the word resh chet base means like a Rechav means wide. It's a wide open area. It's a common area. And although today it's used for streets, in the time of the Mishnah, it meant, like, say, the street where the, you know, think of, like, if you've been to Yerushalayim, like the Cardo, where the people would be hawking their wares, the town square, where, you know, people are selling things, the marketplace. Any large, open, common area is a Rechov. So here we're having to gather the stuff into the town's Rechov. And the Pasuk says, El Toch Rechova, instead of just Betoch Rechova. So the fact that it's got to be El Toch is understood that it has to be in the town square, which has to be in the midst of the city. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Im Ein La Rechov, if there is no open area like that in the city, so that's the Ir HaNidachas, once it's been confirmed to be Ir HaNidachas, so then Osen La Rechov, then we make it an open area. So we get out the, you know, demolition team, we knock down one of the buildings to make an open area. If it did have like a, you know, a town square, a marketplace, whatever the story is, but it actually was outside the walls of the city, that's not good enough. We'll have to incorporate it into the walls of the city, and therefore, we'd rather bring it into the city by building the wall around the marketplace, which had until now been outside the walls of the city. So now you have a meeting place in the walls of the city, which is where you'll be able to gather the stuff for burning. Now, the Mishnah goes on to bring the second pasuk, which is V'sarafta va'esh, you'll burn in a fire, Es ha'ir, the city itself, Ves kol shlala, and all of its booty, all the stuff of the city, Lashem elokecha, excuse me, Kalil Lashem elokecha, it'll be totally burned, everything in it, to Hashem, your God. So we understand here that shlala, it's the booty, the spoils of the city, Velo shalal shamayim, and not other assets which don't belong to the city or its residents, rather it belongs to Hashem, so to speak, and that would be mikan amru ha'hekdesho shaba yipadu, that the hekdesh, the property which has been consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash, given to Hashem, so to speak, which no longer belongs to the private person who consecrated it, now belongs to Gavoa, it belongs to Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, it's not his, and therefore, because it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not shlala, it's not part of the spoils, booty of the city itself, the Ir HaNidachas, it's something else, and therefore, it would be exempt from burning. Says the Mishnah, Yipadu, you would redeem it, meaning someone had a, whatever it is, he had a fountain pen, and he's makdish the fountain pen to the Beis HaMikdash, so now, it doesn't get burned with everything else. It would go to the Beis HaMikdash, who would then monetize it. It's called Bedek HaBayis. You know, it's for the sake of upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. It would be sold in like an auction, and the proceeds of the sale would be used for, you know, paying for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. As for the pen itself, which has now been deconsecrated once it's been redeemed, but after it's been after Pidyon, after Yipadu. So according to the Rambam, it then would get burned. According to the Ravid, no, it wouldn't. Okay. Now, by the way, if it would be that the we're talking about an animal, so instead of Bedek HaBayis, we're talking now Kadshei Mizbeach, you know, someone consecrated Betsy, the cow, to be whatever it is, a Korban Ola. So still, we're not going to actually burn it because it doesn't belong to the guy anymore. It belongs to the Shamayim, Gavoa, because a person consecrated it, but we won't offer it as a korban either, because of the general principle that Zevach Rishayim Toeva, the offerings of the wicked is disgusting to Hashem. And that being the case, we won't redeem the animal because it can't be redeemed because it's not possible to redeem a consecrated animal like that. we won't offer either. It'll be left to die. Okay. Now, says the Mishnah further, there are other things which are going to be possessions of the residents of the Yirnei Dachas, and therefore they have to be destroyed, burned, but we don't want to burn them because of the deference, respect we want to pay to the stuff. So therefore, while it's Aser Bahana, no one can get benefit from it, instead of burning it, we're going to just essentially do something else. So says the Mishnah, first of all, you have the issue of Trumos. Usrumos Yirkavu. When it comes to Truma, so it'll be Truma Gadola, or Trumas Meiser, or Chala for that matter, or I guess even Bikurim, if it was given to a Kohen, and the Kohen is a resident of the Yirnei Dachas, so now it has to, it's his private property, and therefore it has to, it's Asr Bahana, but because we want to respect Truma, we don't want to burn it, it'll be left to rot rather than to be burned actively, sort of passive. If, by the way, the Truma had not yet been given to a Kohen, like you have Yisrael, who separated his Truma Gadola out, or his Chala out, and hasn't yet given to a Kohen, so then it really belongs to the Shevet of the Kohanim, belongs to them all, not to the private person, it's not his property, it's therefore not considered Shlala, it's not considered the spoils of the city, it belongs to like the Kohanim, even the Kohanim outside the city, and therefore indeed it would not be burned, it would be given to Kohanim outside the city. Okay, now the next part of the Mishnah, you're talking about other things kind of like that. You have Maaser Sheni and Kisvei Kodesh. So Maaser Sheni, you know what that is, that's the second tithe which we brought to Jerusalem and eaten over there, or you could be equally talking about the money onto which the Maaser Sheni was deconsecrated, which would be taken to Jerusalem and eaten there. So that food or that money is really called Mamon Bailam. It belongs to the owner, the residents of the Yirnei Dachas, and he would be taken to Jerusalem to eat over there. So therefore, it would have to be also Asar Bana and destroyed. But we don't want to destroy it actively by burning it because of like the respect we want to pay to Maaser Sheni. And therefore, instead of burning it, Yiga Nezu, it will be buried instead, okay? Same goes for Kisvei Kodesh. If you have, you know, holy writing, someone has like a Megillas Esther, so if a resident of the Yirnei Dachas, even if the guy was, you know, running the Chabad house in the Yirnei Dachas, and he's a good guy, he's a tzaddik, even so, all his possessions had to get burned, but we're not going to burn his Megillah because of Kisvei Kodesh. Again, the Megillah has no Shem Hashem. That's not the issue. The point is simply that we're going to give proper respect to Kisvei Kodesh, and therefore, Yiganezu, again, we're going to bury the Megillah instead of burning it. If you'll ask the question, what's the difference between Truma, which is Yirkavu, left to rot, and Maaser Sheni, which is buried? An answer given is that the Kohanim are Zerizimhem, they're punctilious in doing mitzvahs properly, and therefore they're not going to come to accidentally eat, since they're so careful, they're not going to accidentally eat the leftover unburied truma, whereas other people not so much, and therefore they might b'shogeg inadvertently eat the, or make take benefit from whatever it is, the Maaser Sheni, the Maaser Sheni coins, or Kisvei Kodesh, and therefore those have to be buried. Okay, now, next, the pasuk says, so the first part of the pasuk, which is left out of the Mishnah here, is says, v'sarafta v'esh es ha'ir, you'll burn in a fire the whole city. Kalil, then the Mishnah picks up on the quote, Kalil l'Hashem Elokecha. It'll be like entirely burned, every bit of it, to Hashem Elokecha, to Hashem. So Amar Reb Shimon, this is like a drasha here. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, so speak, Imatem osin din v'ir nidachas, if you carry out the halachas of ir nidachas, burning the whole city down, everything in it, Ma'ale ani aleichem, I will consider it, Ki'ilu atem ma'alin ola kalil lefanai, as if you brought a holy burned ola offering to me. In other words, Rabbi Shimon's making kind of a drash here, saying that it's a mitzvah to carry out the burning of the city, and that's also for Kvod Shemam, just as much as you burn an ola entirely, and don't get to benefit from it, but it's like a recognition of Hashem and His sovereignty, and like so too, if one carries out the din of Ir Nidachas, the Rama brings it to the halacha, so it's not just like a cute idea, it's a mitzvah to itself, and the right thing to do to burn the Ir Nidachas for carrying out the will of Hashem and showing his sovereignty, and then that this won't be tolerated. Okay. Next, the fourth of the five psukim that the Mishnah explores here, it says, V'haisa tel olam, it'll be like a mound after you burn it. It'll be a mound forever. Lo sibane od. You won't build it od. Now, the word od could kind of mean two different things in context of psukim. Sometimes od means like without exception. You know, it's entirely. Lagamre. So, for example, the pasuk says, ein od milvado. There's nothing besides Hashem at all. No exceptions to that rule. Or, ki Hashem hu Elokim, b'shamayim ma'al v'la'aretz mitachas, ein od. No exceptions. It's Hashem is the only God and there's nothing else. Other times, the word od could mean like to go back and redo. Like in the context of Al Tosef Daber Eli Od B'Davar Hazeh. Hashem says, don't speak to me about this Od, like don't come back to it again to speak about this matter. So Od there means like to go back and redo. Or the pasuk says, Lo Sosifun Lashuv Baderech Hazeh Od, talking about kings going back to Egypt to get their horses. They shouldn't once again go back and like retrace their steps doing it again. That's the Od. So there's two possibilities here. Does Od mean like again to redo? Or does it mean like entirely? And that two possibilities is the subject of the Machlokas here at Tanaim. Here, does when it says Lo Sibane Od, does that mean you can never rebuild it again in Legamre in total? Nothing? Just it's left there as a you know smoking mound of ashes, or as you can't rebuild the city to be like a city for inhabitation, but to use it for agriculture and the like would be permitted. That's the machlokas here. Says the Mishnah inside. First, Rabbi Yosef Glili, lo se ase afilu ganos afardesim. You can't even use the land that was burned down in the Ir Nidachas for ginos or like gardens and pardesim are like orchards. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili. So he learns Ode means like entirely, legamri, complete. So nothing can be built there, not even agriculture. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo sibane Ode, you can't build it like again, meaning rebuild the city. L'chmosha haisa, how was before, inner nivness. That you can't redo. You can't rebuild it for inhabitation. Avol na'asis hu ganosu fardesim, but you could rebuild it for agricultural purposes. That's not rebuilding the city, it's just repurposing it, and that would be, yes, allowed. Rambam Paskin's like Rabbi Kiva here, that you can convert the Ir Nidachas into agricultural, you know, gardens and the like. Finally, the last pasuk of the five says the Mishnah, Lo yidbak biyadcha mu'uma min acherim. None of the cherim, of the forbidden contents of the city, should like cleave to your hand. The pasuk continues on, but not quoted in the Mishnah, but in context it says, Lama'an yashuv Hashem mecharon apo. So that Hashem, Lama'an, for the sake of Hashem, relenting in his anger. Okay, so we have a present for this kind of thing. If you remember the story of Achan back in Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua said no one should touch anything from Jericho, it all tcherim, and yet Achan surreptitiously he snuck some stuff. Then when they fought their next battle in Ai, people died because Hashem was angry. There was a megefa, and they realized it was Achan causing the Achan's having taken this tcherim, this forbidden stuff that caused the problem. And there's the charon af, so similar idea here. We're saying that no one should take any of the stuff for the sake of turning away Hashem's wrath. Says the Mishnah inside, shekozman sharashayim ba'olam, so long as they're wicked in the world, meaning in this context, wicked people who are benefiting from this cherim, this forbidden stuff from the Ir Nidachas, charon af ba'olam. So Hashem's anger is flaring up against the world. But then avdu rashayim min ha'olam, once the wicked have been destroyed, and therefore they will not get any benefit anymore from the contents of their nidachas. Then nistalek charon af min ha'olam. Then Hashem's anger dissipates, if you will, it like leaves the world and no longer is a source of kitrug of you know of anger and danger to the people back here on planet Earth. And with that, we finish the 10th parak of Maseches Sanhedrin, and Bez Hashem. Now we go on to 11th and final.